This is Emma.
Right.
How are you this morning?
Fine. How about you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that we're finally getting a chance to talk. I'm sorry for all the confusion yesterday.
Oh, no problem.
Okay. I guess I'd like to tell you a few minutes about what my master's research is going to be on and then ask for your consent to be interviewed. Is it okay if I tape record this conversation?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm a master's student in the geography department, and I'm interested in just learning about the history of Eagle Heights Community Gardens, sort of the ecology that happens there, and how different people use this space. I am interested in food growth by people and landscapes and sort of people-environment interactions. And so my advisor was like, well, nobody knows anything about the Eagle Heights Community Gardens, and they really don't. All of the history and knowledge is scattered among lots of people. And so I'm starting to try to put it all together, and I hope that it sounds like you'll be able to help me. So,
I hope so. You know, it was a long time ago. Things are a little foggy.
Yeah, but I'm sure that you'll remember. I hope that you remember some things. I'm sure that you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet.
So, I just need your oral consent that you agree to participate in my research.
Oh, you have that. No problem.
Okay, lovely. Thank you so much. Can I quote you directly, either using a pseudonym or your real name?
Sure.
Does it matter which one?
Use my real one.
Okay, great.
Why hide it?
That's right. I don't think that there's anything very scandalous about the garden's history.
Oh, or not at all.
If there is, you can tell me about it. What do you remember? What do you remember about what the gardens were like when you were there? And when were you there?
I remember that the first year that we had it, that's when my wife heard about it. And I believe it was there for a year, and then it was moved.
Where was it for a year? Could you tell me that again?
I don't know if the lay of the land is like it was in Eagle Heights back then.
Mm-hmm.
The road's going up, but we went up the hill to get there.
Okay.
At Lot 60, and you turned in to the left. At that time, there were a lot fewer units, I think only a couple of hundred.
Mm-hmm.
But when you turned in to the left, then it was in a vacant area out to the right. But after a year, I got word that they were going to expand and they were going to use that area to build some more apartments.
Mm.
So then the next year, we got this other place, which, I lived close to the building 206, I think it was. 206 I lived in. There was A at first, and we moved to I, which was kind of at the end of the first part, on the west end, and there was a road that went through from Eagle Heights over to what was the name of the place where they had faculty?
University Houses?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah.
There's a road that went across, and across that road from the apartments, there had been an apple orchard, which they abandoned and took out a lot of the trees, so we got permission to use that area.
Okay. So what was it like gardening in a place where there used to be an orchard?
Well, most of the trees were gone.
Okay.
We'd taken them out.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first started in the original place, and then that place we moved to, anybody that wanted a garden paid a quarter.
A quarter.
A whole quarter of money so that we could get a plot.
How big were the plots?
25 by 25 feet. Mm. Each person's garden plot.
Wow.
And, you know, we got permission to use that old orchard place. He says, yeah, you can use it fine.
Who gave you that permission? Who did you have to go to find new gardens?
It was to the College of Agriculture.
Okay.
It was their land. And they said, okay, fine, go ahead and use it, but you have to do the plowing and all that kind of thing, take care of it. Mm. I said, okay, no problem. So we had it. And we used it like that for a year or two, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure just who did it. Some people on the committee. We all decided that we needed water because, you know, sometimes you get dry out there.
Mm.
So then we got to tap into the city water line that went right by, and we ran pipes out into the area.
How did you get permission to do that?
I don't know. Somebody else on the committee, they went to the city and all that. It was city water. And, of course, we had cost.
Mm.
So we had to start charging people a whole dollar. So I think that might have been the third year of the garden. The price went clear up to a dollar. But people had water out there.
Mm.
Great. But in both of the first place and the same place, of course, there's a big problem because they got a plow and then weeds, quack grass.
Mm.
I mean, that was all over the place, and we kept fighting the weeds.
How did you fight them?
Hands and knees, we'd pull out.
Yep.
And throw them out and rake them out any way we could.
Mm-hmm.
Except there were some people, there were a few people who said, oh, look at that. Everybody else got weed problems and we don't. Ooh, their gardens came up and they were just as nice and clean as could be.
Mm.
And the rest of us were kind of jealous as we were pulling weeds. And we were getting a lot of time. There was just a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And come the first hot days, so a lot of things in their garden were coming up. They were looking great. Come the first hot days, they died. And my goodness, what's the problem? So somebody went down to the College of Agriculture and asked what was going on out there, if they knew.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that sometime 4 or 5 years earlier, that someone had been doing some research out there, some graduate student had been doing some work, research on herbicides.
Oh.
And he really dosed up a few study plots.
Huh.
And the herbicides were still working.
So it just in specific plots?
They were in specific little spots.
It didn't affect their vegetables then, it just affected the quack grass?
Well, they just came up and then they died.
Oh.
That's kind of an effect, all right. Well, okay, the next year, we'll avoid those spots.
Hmm.
Problem is, about the time we got it, at that time I was on the committee and I was one of the people that helped do the measuring and all that sort of thing. Signing out the plots. So, well, we'll just go ahead and get it plowed and we'll avoid those spots.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, it didn't get marked very well. And it got plowed, just, oh my goodness, where were those spots? So, now a couple of us decided, well, we'll make our gardens close to where that was.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, we'll be the ones in trouble rather than somebody else. Well, that didn't work out too good. Our aim was bad. But anyway, it wasn't that many people were affected. He got their doctor refunded. But anyway, that was one of the problems. But other than that, of course, the biggest problem was fighting the quack grass.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, a little bit of work and win. Everybody had good gardens. That was good for the land out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we did fine. But anyway.
So
I'm lying there. I'm sure you've got other questions.
Oh, I want to hear all your stories. That's what I'm calling for. But I'm really interested in how the gardens got started. If they were in this one spot for 1 year, were there gardens somewhere else before then?
No, that was the beginning.
So how did people decide to start gardens in this spot?
Well, a few people out there at that time, when I first moved out, there were 200 units, and I don't know how many there are there now.
Ooh.
But then I got some more built, went up to 400. But at that time, some people say, boy, it'd sure be nice to be able to. I don't know who started this, because my wife had gotten word of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got into it. I got around in a newsletter or whatever. But we said, well, it sure would be nice. You know, graduate students are not rich people. I said, sure would be nice to be able to cut some grocery bills by growing and having fresh vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So a few people got together and rounded up those who wanted to start gardens. It came out, I think it came out in a newsletter, and called these particular people, some students of
mm-hmm.
another area out there,
mm-hmm.
see how many I could get. And that first year, I don't remember how many there were, but it was a pretty good sized percentage of the people out there that wanted gardens.
Wow.
So, we got it going.
So the first land was also College of Agriculture, or did you had to just go out and clear the land yourself?
That was not from the College of Agriculture, I don't think. It was land which, as far as I know, had already been specified as use for Eagle Heights Apartments.
Mm.
And we kind of knew it was temporary. It would be nice to get a start anyway.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we had it there for, I think it was just 1 year, and the word came off that we couldn't have it anymore because they were going to put up some more apartment units.
Yeah. Okay.
There we were. Our gardens are gone. But then some of the people once got interested. I'd like to say I was smart enough to do that, but I wasn't. I just sort of just, oh my goodness. But then got down to the, let's see, that big vacant area out there.
Uh-huh.
It was hard to recognize even as an old apple orchard because there were only just a few trees left.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got down to the College of Agriculture, found out that it was belonged to the ag school, and got the permission. They said, you know, we're not using it for anything else. You go ahead and do the plowing and take care of it, and so it won't be any expense to us, and that's fine, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's where it still is or not, but that was there for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it actually moved in 1966, the gardens did. They moved from the orchard to a place, if you're heading up the road, up the hill, they're actually to the right now, which I think used to be old agricultural fields, maybe hay fields or something.
Uh-huh.
So, because they built more apartments on that apple orchard site.
Okay.
So those were also...
That's, you say when you're going up the hill, that's from going up from where Lot 60 was down there?
I believe so, yep. Yep. So now they're...
And I know at one time,
yeah,
that far to the right of that road, mm-hmm. after you got up and over At one time, that was tip-telling in the summertime.
Yep.
For students.
Yep. Yep, I've heard about the tent colony. Most definitely.
Goodness, I thought that was pretty well wooded, but my memory's foggy.
Mm-hmm.
Moving in 66, I had left by then. I got my PhD and left there in 62.
Okay.
Summer 62, I was gone.
Mm. So the first year you gardened was 1960 or 59?
That begin dates are bad with me. The first year I was there, and I think it was 59.
Okay. Okay. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. That's why things are a little foggy.
Yeah. So what did you grow in your garden? Do you remember? What was the...
Oh, I remember one thing in particular, but it was just general vegetables. Well, I didn't grow radishes. I didn't like radishes.
Mm.
But, and I know carrots and beets and string beans. Maybe I had some butter beans, too.
Mm.
And then my wife said, we need some tomatoes. We tried corn, but there wasn't being a place to do much corn. But we had some corn.
Yeah.
My wife decided we needed tomatoes. Okay, I'll get some tomato plants. I think about three or four of them will be fine.
Yeah.
So, no, we need more than that. I don't know. I was not a very big spot. So he called me in to get more tomatoes, but we really had them crowded in there.
Yeah.
And had 15 tomato plants.
Whoa.
Yeah. And they did real well.
Nice.
Super well, as a matter of fact. That was after we got into was that the first place or the second one? That must have been the first place because we learned our lesson. But the tomatoes kept coming and coming. It was about the third week of July when I picked my first tomato. And then every 2 to 3 days after that, I went out there and picked anywhere from 4 to 6 dozen tomatoes. A lot of tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
A young man and his wife, two kids. but remember, we only had one. And anyway, she canned tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And we ate tomatoes. And we ran out of jars and spaces to put them. And we got tired of eating them. We gave them away. And I think it got to the point where when the neighbors saw us coming, they pulled their shades and locked their doors. They were getting tired of tomatoes. I mean, I had tomatoes coming like crazy from the latter part of July all the way into October.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, that was the most memorable part of it, was all those tomatoes. So, rather than that, it was just general vegetables. I can't remember specifically at all. But
mm-hmm.
I know he did have some nice carrots and some nice beets and
mm-hmm.
and some beans. I may have put in a hell of cucumbers too.
Mm-hmm.
But, in that space, things were crowded together a whole lot more than they should have been. But
yep.
They seemed to do all right.
Yep. Makes sense. So, who did you know who gardened? Did you talk with people when you're out at your garden plot, or what do you have memories of?
Oh yeah, we used to talk a lot. I don't remember any specific names or anything,
mm-hmm.
but we talk a lot, especially with the people who had gardens adjacent to ours.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the big things we talked about was complaining about the quack grass. And then kind of compared to what we were getting and so on. And we talked about how this would be better last year. How's the layout? Could it be any better?
Mm.
And we may have made some improvements on that. And so I was one of the people, I think, after that first year, definitely after we got moved to where the apple orchard was, mm-hmm. I was one part of the committee that went out. Once measuring and laying out the plots. We set them up so there'd be four 25 by 25 foot plots in a square, and then we had about 2 foot walkways in between each of those bigger squares, so people could get out in there without walking in other people's gardens. The layout concept was pretty good, and then when we finally got tapped into the water, I think that was only the last year I was there where we had the water. Then the pipes went up along the walkways, and people would haul their hoses out, attach in, and they had places where you could attach it with a hose out there every so often. Water their gardens.
So it was...
The layout's improved a little bit.
Mm-hmm. What was the layout before you started doing sort of squares of four?
The gardens were just kind of jammed together up there. And kind of had to tiptoe through it to other people's garden to get to yours. They're just a little more primitive.
Mm-hmm. The gardens today are organic, whatever that happens to mean. Is that something that was talked about?
That means is that they, if they're using the term the way it's generally used, is that they do not use chemical fertilizers. They use natural fertilizers. Probably turn as much organic matter back under from the waste from the gardens. To recycle mineral nutrients and all.
Yeah.
And they do bring anything in, it would be natural fertilizers.
Yeah.
And they're really going all the way. They would not be using artificial or chemical pesticides. I don't think they go that far enough.
Yeah, I think they do. Is that something, were people talking about organic gardens when you were gardening?
No.
No.
No, we never really talked about it, but, actually my father had gardened for years, and we never used the commercial fertilizers anyway. We used natural things. And actually, the first few years out there, I don't think very many people even thought about it, because the lands that we were on seemed to be pretty good, and we just planted things grew all right. But I never was big on using, 5-10-10, the artificial fertilizers. I never was big on those things anyway.
Yeah. What about herbicides and pesticides? I mean, herbicides were there because of the old apple testing. bring in herbicides and pesticides?
I don't recall really having that much of a problem. Of course, somebody at the dead spots in the apple garden out there is because of some graduate student doing research with some herbicides. And they were just hanging around there for a long time. And, they didn't kill the quackgrass. I mean, they were for broadleaf plants. And so we didn't really notice it until some people didn't have weed problems, and then their gardens died. Most of their gardens died. Actually, when the thing hit, we discovered the spots here. All their broadleaf things died. Their beans, their peas, and the beets and the carrots. They all went. I was a planted corn. They did fairly well. And the herbicides were fairly specific, apparently, for broadleaf plants.
Fascinating.
But I don't know how much. I don't think anybody used any herbicides at all. Some may have used some insecticides. I don't recall whether I did or not.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think you had any real insect problems going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, if there was insects or fungi that infected plants from the apple orchard, they would probably be things that would be more specific to apples. Mm-hmm. A lot of the fungal parasites and things are fairly specific. Mm-hmm. And never had any problem with that.
Yeah.
And I don't recall any much of a problem with insects.
Yeah.
You know, some of those are fairly specific, not as specific as some of the fungi.
Yeah.
Or what plants it would go after.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't recall any real problems along those lines.
Yeah.
Main problem was quite grass.
It's still a problem, let me tell you.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Especially I moved to South Carolina from there. Mm-hmm. And was on the faculty for 40 and a half years at the University of South Carolina.
Oh, wow. Doing what?
We had a thing that was similar. We call it crabgrass. Only it crept along above the ground where the crabgrass gets the rhizomes. Mm-hmm. Underground, they're more of a problem picking them up.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had something similar there in South Carolina, so
mm-hmm.
I got to fight that too.
So you kept gardening when you left Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah.
If it was the garden committee, and how did people get on to the committee?
Well, getting on, it was mostly a matter of volunteering at that time.
Mm.
says, yeah, I'd like to help out. So they're on the committee. I don't remember who exactly started. It was a small group of only four or five people, as far as I remember. Mm-hmm. But they were pretty adamant about it, and they went out, got word in the newsletter, put it out, they went door to door, and I know there were a couple of phone numbers in there, some people who lived in some other apartments. I was in the 200 room, I think they were in the 400s. Mm-hmm. And all we had to do was get in contact with them. Okay. And, okay, the first year, I think they pretty much fought it themselves. Second year, it got too big. And so then they started asking for volunteers to do the measuring and the plotting and all that. That's when I got in on the thing. Mm-hmm. And
What did you plow it with? Were you out there with hand tools, or did you... How did you plow such a big area?
Well, they hired someone to come in with a tractor and their plow.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that would have been a pretty good-sized area.
I can't imagine enough volunteers to sort of dig it all up by hand. That would take a long time.
I'm not sure the exact numbers, but I think that by the time we got over into the Ashcraft orchards, there were probably a couple of hundred garden plots we had to put out there. The numbers are kind of... I'm not sure if there were that many or not, but mm-hmm. I was amazed at the percentage mm-hmm. of people who did get their little garden plots.
Yeah.
And some people, of course, treated them better than others. Some of them went out and planted their stuff and threw up their hands when they got all the progress. Got what they could, and others spent a good bit of time out there. You know, as much time as a graduate student could devote.
Yeah.
And really fought it, worked at it, and had some fairly nice looking gardens.
Mm-hmm. So there's a big mix of what plots looked like. Were there different planting styles that you could remember? Do sort of gardening styles stick in your mind?
No, most people would be old. You know, with the root vegetables and the beans and things like that, most people did just regular rows.
Mm-hmm.
And some of short rows, some of them had rows that go all the way across.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the designs varied, but they were pretty traditional
mm-hmm.
garden kind of things.
Yeah.
Vegetable garden kind of things. I don't know if there might have been a few people who grew some flowers out there, too. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't swear to that.
Mm-hmm. Did you mostly feel as though the university was supporting these gardens, or did the university even pay attention to the gardens when they were there? Did you have any interaction with the university?
Main thing was the university let us use the land. They mm-hmm. said, from there on out, it's your problem. Just take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mistreat it.
Yeah.
It's up to you to get it plowed. And that was it. They pretty, as far as I remember, they pretty well stayed away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds too confusing to have multiple layers of bureaucracy.
And, you know, I said, I belong to the School of Agriculture. I'm not sure what particular department had mm-hmm. to do with that apple orchard.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew it came from the College of Agriculture.
Yeah.
And belonged to them.
Try to find that out. It'd be interesting.
That was a real relief to get that spot after they decided to build apartments where our original gardens were.
And you don't remember the process of getting that spot from the old
one? Oh, I didn't really have that much to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just suddenly came up from the committee and said, yep, we've got it. And I said, oh, great, and we went to work on it.
Yeah, that's good. Because people weren't frustrated after 1 year of gardening, everybody wanted to keep going.
Oh yeah, some people looked, okay, this is great. We're disappointed when they heard that we were going to lose that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And said, what are we going to do now? And kind of rub our hands and so forth. And some of the more enterprising was. They may have been, I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but they may have been graduate students who were in something in agriculture. Mm. So they knew where to go down there.
Yeah.
But well, that part's very foggy. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. What else? Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you still remember about the gardens, that or some story that's come up in your mind that you've been thinking about since I sent you the letter?
Well, I've been thinking about it. Like I say, it remains pretty foggy. The main things that you know that really stick out is the moving from one place to another.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting the crabgrass. Yeah. The dead spots out there is really out of somebody's research. And finally being able to tap in and getting water out there.
Yeah. So the water, how did you set up the... So it was an irrigation system? What did it look like? How does that work? How did that work?
It was just a matter of running some water pipes out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were one-inch diameter water pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Running them parallel to each other across the garden,
mm-hmm.
putting in some upright standpipes that had spigots on them that people could attach their hoses to.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Hmm. And then it connected to the city water supply that had to come to the apartments right. anyhow.
Right, it connected to the city water supply.
Okay.
I don't know what the water bill was at that time, but, water bills were too great in Madison because there's a pretty good water supply there.
There's a lot of water. There's something I was just about, something with the pipes. Oh, no. So right now in the gardens, it becomes a problem because in the summertime, that's when people are traveling or going on vacation or visiting people, or it seems like you have a lot of time, but that's also the time when people are moving and vacationing and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
How did people get others to take care of their plot? Did you have some notice board where you could...
I don't recall there being a lot of problems with vacationing things, because most of the people that had garden spots were also there for summer school.
Mm, mm-hmm.
It would be between terms that they might be gone. I don't even remember who he was, but the person alongside of mine says, oh, we're going to be gone for a little while. You're welcome to go, and if anything gets right, it's going to go bad before we get back, you're welcome to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you just kind of help fight off the weeds a little bit, we'll be gone for about a week, so we said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may have done the same thing. I remember I didn't get off. I didn't really get off on vacation too much. Occasionally,
mm-hmm.
I'd take off a few days and go up to northern Wisconsin where my parents lived,
mm-hmm.
or down to Chicago where my wife's parents lived, and that was generally the extent of our roving in the summertime.
Yeah.
And a lot of graduate students were the same way. Didn't have a lot of money to go on vacation.
No. I think it's true now. It's mostly visiting family as well for graduate students. Recently in the gardens, there have been theft problems where it's either somebody else coming into the gardens or other gardeners going to other plots and taking fresh vegetables. Were there any problems with people moving into other people's plots or anything?
No.
That's good.
Of course, some people did have the problems I was unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
I never had any problems with mine, and the people around me never complained of anything.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty, sort of once it was your plot, it was your space to have, and that whatever came out of it was pretty much,
right.
Yeah.
And people were pretty well honored other people's spaces, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a big deal. I don't recall any problem with any vandals coming in from anywhere.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah. There's been a recent spate of thefts in the garden where people's eggplants and tomatoes are being stolen. Gardeners aren't so happy about that. But
that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. It's very sad.
That's one thing I wanted to ask you about, and you told me, was whether it was still where it was when I was there, but obviously it had moved. Mm-hmm. And to me, it sounds like it moved over to where the tent colony used to be.
I think that it's moved. The tent colony was along the lake shore, right? Right on the shore.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think it's moved. It's south of that. So.
Oh, okay.
So it's where I'm trying to see. Did you spend a lot of time sort of in that tent colony woods and the ag fields that were south of there?
I never was in the tent colony.
You never did you walk? Okay, so the I think the tent colony was right along the shore, and then there were agriculture fields, if you remember those, that were either hay or oats or something south of that, and to the east of Eagle Heights. I don't know. I'm not sure if even the road is in the same place anymore.
Yeah, well, that might be because I don't recall any fields there until it got down on the flat. And to the west of Lot 60, mm-hmm. there were some fields there.
Yeah.
Lot 60 is a lot bigger now than it was then. Is it still called Lot 60 down there?
I honestly don't know many of the parking lots or lot names because I just bike. So, I don't
know. It's a huge lot.
I'm not sure that it is still there. I think it may have been. Is that where there were cornfields?
To the west of it, there were some cornfields, and then there was some kind of marshy land.
Mm-hmm.
Down there where it was flat.
Yeah, and I think. So, in that flat area, they've actually changed it all to marsh now. There are no more cornfields there because.
Oh, good. In the wetlands down there.
Yep. So the cornfields, I guess, used to keep getting flooded. Like it's actually a floodplain. So they changed that. They changed that to marsh. And so, the University Bay Drive, sort of, which comes past the cornfields and then turns to the west. If you go north of that, sort of up a hill, where I think there used to be a cottage with some apple orchards by it.
Uh-huh.
That's where the gardens are now.
Okay, well, that's not too far off.
Yeah. So I think, yeah.
So I've actually gone out, you know, the drive out there, Picnic Point, stuck out.
Yep.
High. Then you get past the entrance to Picnic Point.
Yep. So there's the entrance to Picnic Point, and it's sort of, if you go directly northwest of that, you'd hit the garden, sort of a diagonal northwest.
Okay, yeah.
And that's where the gardens are now. And it's to the right of the new road that runs up past the Eagle Heights apartments.
Okay. Yeah, the lay of land is a little bit different, so it sounds familiar. I remember we used to follow the drive around and then took a right and it went up the hill to Eagle Heights.
Yep.
I was riding my bicycle. There was a thin little road that angled up that I used to ride up there.
Actually, that, if you can picture that road, I believe that's still the same road that I take up to the gardens. And did that little angled road also hit the main road?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so where those two come together, that is the entrance to the gardens now.
Okay.
The gardens are directly to the west of that, to the east of that, excuse me, to your right. And there's sort of, that used to be field, or at some point was fields, and then in 66 it became the garden. There's sort of a slope, it's on a slope, it's almost terraced now.
Uh-huh.
If you can picture that, yeah. So, that field is now there, the garden plots, and then there, the biology department is working on restoring a prairie, a tall grass prairie, at the top of the field.
Uh-huh.
And also there's some College of Agriculture horticultural plots and the there's a Students for Sustainable Agriculture group that has a little farm there too. So it's become a really sort of complicated mesh of landscape.
It sounds like a few more administrative problems and so forth.
You've hit the nail on the head. There are definitely some administrative problems, a lot with figuring out what can be done in different places, and sort of boundary issues have become a big deal now. I don't know, were there boundary issues when you were gardening?
Probably. We could pretty well spread out until we either used up the apple orchard or we ran out of people wanting gardens. As it was, we never did get as far as we could have gone.
Mm.
But we had a pretty good sized place out there where people had their gardens.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the old apple orchard.
Yeah. Nice. I like that. Yeah, I think there.
What was to the west? Seems like it was wooded over there for a ways, and then there were some housing developments.
Yep.
I don't think the university houses wrapped around there. They were pretty much to the south of that old orchard.
Yep, I think you're right. I think you're remembering it just right. The university houses just sort of stayed in that area.
Yep. My major professor lived in the university houses for a while until he finally got a new place and moved out into the Macoma area.
There were also gardens for faculty at university houses. Do you ever remember seeing those or hearing about them or doing anything?
I didn't really know anything about those.
Mm-hmm.
I was more concerned with where I had my garden.
Yeah. I think, and they're all sort of, those are still in the same place that they were. I think when you were gardening, they're just directly to the east of university houses, and now they're all under the same university apartments, community gardens title, you know, which makes it even more complicated. There are two locations for these gardens that have very separate histories, which is interesting.
A lot more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
We had an easy back then.
Yeah. And we're still fighting quackgrass continually.
Oh, yeah, well, that's southern Wisconsin for you.
Yeah.
I remember my dad fighting quackgrass ever since I was old enough to know that he planted a garden.
Where are you from?
In Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in quite a few different places. We moved around, but I've lived in Altoona for a little while, just outside of Eau Claire.
Okay. Yep.
And then lived in a little town called Downey, which was about halfway between Eau Claire and the Twin Cities.
Oh, okay.
And then lived in Kadat for a while,
mm-hmm.
which is west or east, about 13 or 14 miles from Chippewa Falls. And I lived in Blanchardville. That's where I graduated from high school. That's southwest of Madison.
Yeah, you did move around.
And I taught high school for a year after I spent my 2 years in the Army. I taught high school for a year at Valders, which is inland about 7 miles from Manitowoc. And then I went back to graduate school.
Wow. And what department were you in? I meant to ask you that.
It was in botany.
Botany. Nice.
In botany, it was a specialty then in mycology, the fungi.
Yeah. Wow. That's fascinating.
So, I practically lived in Burge Hall.
And still there, and still the botany department. Did you ever go mushroom hunting around Madison?
Not too much. I was more into soil fungi and things like that. I eventually did get into mushrooms quite a bit, especially when I got to South Carolina. I said, oh, goodness, you're a mycologist. We have people and doctors, parents, emergency rooms, hospitals, and all that got concerned about people brought in because they eat the mushroom, and that was the guy that used to get called and had to go identify them and tell if they got a bad one or if it would have been better had they tried it. So, you know, I did get into the mushrooms. That wasn't my main line. My main line was ecology of Soylent Happening Fungi. And then South Carolina, I eventually got into moles that were, I got into it because of mold problems they were having in the state archives, libraries. They were having mold problems there. Got in and started studying that and helped them solve their problems. And as a result, got a little bit of a reputation and just doing libraries and houses and things that were having mold problems pretty much all over the state.
Wow. You became the expert to call on the mold.
I got called in every once in a while to be an expert witness. Had lawsuits.
Oh, goodness.
Helped a few people get what was coming to them without having to go to court. Mm-hmm. You know, settle out of court because of information that I could supply, and I also helped particularly university libraries and also the College of Charleston libraries to know how to better cope with their mold problems. See, South Carolina is a very humid place.
Yeah.
Mold problems all over the place. But so I did a lot of that my last number of years.
Fascinating.
Then I took radiation soil fungal ecology work at the Savannah River site, which is about 50 miles from the university, and also in Puerto Rico. Did some down there where we radiated a piece of the rainforest. About 80 different scientists down there studying different aspects of the rainforest. Radiation was just a way to get in and study rainforest. But that was a way to get the money at that time, the Atomic Energy Commission.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of different people involved in that study. So I got around a little bit. The mushroom thing, that was a matter of concern because a lot of things popping up down there. It seemed like a lot of children in particular taking a bite out of something in the backyard.
Yeah.
And I was their go-to guy to identify what they eat. You say, oh yeah, there's no problem with that one. You can see the parents become a lot more relaxed.
Yeah.
And I used to get quite a few cases of people that ended up in the hospital with bad reactions. Some of them just got bad reactions to what they were looking for, which is what I call the recreational mushrooms, hallucinogenic things and so on.
Yeah.
And others who got into, were hunting for recreational mushrooms, had gotten into other things, and sometimes they get something that was pretty bad.
Oh, not good. Not good at all.
Kind of an interesting aspect of things, too.
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't have much to do with equalizing.
No, not completely, but it's interesting to think about different kinds of natural environments, you know, the gardens versus the woods and how they interact. So that part is really fascinating to me, too. Is there anything else that you wanted to ask me about my research about what the gardens are like now? Anything?
Not really. You've already mentioned a little bit about some of the complications as far as administering it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Concrete rights and that kind of thing.
Yep.
About how many, you don't have any idea about, is Eagle Heights still just graduate student housing, or is it?
Eagle Heights, yeah, is still just graduate student housing. There may be some postdoctoral students actually the faculty are still mostly in university houses.
Yeah.
But the gardens are not just graduate students anymore. Were they just graduate students when you were there?
Yes.
Yeah. So now they let some community members have plots in the gardens too. Which is actually nice because those are the people who are here for longer stretches of time.
Oh yeah, that's from year to year, year to year. They had a little continuity to it. I could see where that would be an advantage. But the time we did it was all graduate students.
Yeah.
Graduate student operated. Graduate students did the right things. And graduate students did the wrong things. There was a learning process involved.
Yeah. I'd say there's still learning processes going on. There are about almost 500 plots, I think, that are all filled. I think it's about an eight acres now, give or take.
Do they still have the same size plot, about 25 by 25?
Yep, I think that's about the same size. There's some of them are irregular, you know, they aren't all exactly the same size. One big thing that's changed, and this changed, I think, I don't know exactly when I'm figuring that out, but between eight and 10 years ago, they stopped plowing the fields every year. So the plots are really now very permanent. You don't have to go out and lay them out every year. They're marked, and people can leave. It means people that can plant perennial plants, which I'm sure you didn't when you were gardening. Yeah, so people put in raspberries and strawberries and things like chives, and they plant garlic in the fall.
Yeah.
And so they're able to, and then people can apply and get the same plot year after year as well. So it becomes very much sort of their garden, you know, which brings up some ownership issues as well, I think.
Of course, the layouts got easier for us once they ran the water pipes, because we had the water pipes to go by.
Yeah. How did you plow around the water pipes?
I let the flowers worry about that. I think it's pretty much just ran kind of parallel to them.
Oh, that's right, because they were all parallel to these squares of gardens. Yeah.
Well, there weren't any going across, they all just ran much of the east-west direction.
Yeah, and I think...
So that wasn't any big problem.
Pardon?
Hello?
What did you just say?
I said that plowing wasn't any big problem.
Plowing was...
All ran parallel to each other.
Yeah, they did. I think that they actually moved the pipes that you used to the garden where it is today, and they may be the exact same irrigation pipes that you bought and put in the ground. I guess I talked to somebody who was there in 1966 when they moved the garden, and he was in charge of moving the entire irrigation system from one garden to the new garden, piece by piece, and laying it out. So I can just imagine what sort of weekend that was, where directing the movement of an entire irrigation system from one place to another.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a matter of moving that, and also probably sealing off where they tapped into the city water.
That's a good point. I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah.
Of course, that was after I left there.
Yeah,
I was there, left there in the summer of 62. Moved to South Carolina.
Yeah. So what else about the garden? The gardens are now all organic, so you're not supposed to use pesticides or herbicides or anything like that. You are allowed to use plastics for ground cover and things. And they have sort of compost piles and a leaf mulch pile, which is nice for the gardeners.
Yeah.
But bugs really are a problem. There are tons and tons of, because the gardens are there every year. The insects lay their eggs in the soil, and then they come back, and it's it's a very happy place for them because there's so much food.
Oh, the good home.
Yep. There's so much food. There are things for them to eat. It stays, you know, people water it. There's plenty of water. So it's, I'm struggling right now with my pumpkin plants, cucumbers, and some of my summer squash have terrible cucumber beetles, which are those little yellow and black beetles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't know this, but they spread some sort of virus or a fungus. And so all of my plants are now turning yellow and wilting, and they have these almost white patches of, looks like a mold on them, and they're all sort of dying and rotting. It's very sad, and I can't do anything about it.
What was the name of the thing I had problems with in South Carolina? My squash things. It's little thing that got into the by the nodes, bored inside, and hollow out the stems.
Yeah, I think.
Wasn't good for it.
Yeah, I don't know what they're.
But one thing, I did conquer the bee beetle problem with the miracles.
Yeah.
And I understand that. The miracle, certain kinds of miracles also, built in here and there, will help to cut down on some of the nematode problems.
I'm going to have to try
that. I don't know if you have nematode problems or not.
No, not that I've noticed yet.
Yeah.
But
might be more of a southern thing. I don't know.
Yeah, because of the heat. I think that Wisconsin, we're lucky because the cold winters.
Oh, yeah, it'll take care of quite a few things.
Does kill some things, which is good. But, yeah. So, I don't think that I have any more questions. Is there anything else that I can answer for you?
You've done pretty well, and I enjoyed talking with you.
I've really enjoyed talking with you, too. I may be back in touch. I'm sure I'll let you know how everything goes.
How much longer is your thesis research going to take you?
I'm beginning my second year of my master's program, so I should have something done by the end of in a year from now. Hopefully, I'll finish researching in the fall semester and then write in the spring semester, but.
Are you planning on going out after the master's?
I haven't decided yet. I think that's something I have to decide that within sometime this year. But I can't decide if I want to stay in academia for a PhD or use my master's for a little bit and then come back and get a PhD or some other professional degree. I really miss. I mean, I love gardening, so I love doing both the intellectual and sort of the hands-on work, and so the balance of that is something that I've struggled to find.
Well, I have a very good friend who is, well, I have several friends in the geography department in South Carolina, but one who is a very good friend of mine who is a pretty much a world authority on remote sensing.
Interesting. What is his or her name? What is his or her name?
His name is John Jensen.
John, okay. I have heard of John Jensen. Yeah. Interesting. Oh, I do have... Yeah?
I was on the committee for one of his graduate students. His PhD students.
So yeah. Geography is a very fascinating field because you can do basically whatever you want to. In college geography. I have friends who do a myriad of other
things. Well, it's a combination of social sciences, physical sciences, agricultural sciences, forestry, you name it.
Exactly. It's just a big conglomeration.
Yeah.
It's great. My last question that I can't believe I almost forgot is, do you have any other names of people I may be able to contact, or maybe some.
You know, since I got your letter, I've been trying to think of some of those names. I don't really remember. I remember some neighbors of ours, but I don't think they were involved in gardening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Purdue was his name. Another one was, oh goodness, what was his name? He was in sociology and ended up after his degree going to University of Missouri on the faculty, but Stevenson, I think that was his name. Mm. Now my kids used to play with theirs. But, and then I remember the Criddles, Nick Criddle and his family. They lived in the same building that we did, but I'm not sure whether they did gardening or not.
Mm-hmm.
They probably did, but I don't know.
Okay.
He ended up at the University of California, Davis, on the faculty there in biochemistry.
Mm. It's Mick. Could you spell that name for me?
C-R-I-D-D-L-E.
Okay. Thank you.
All the people that I knew there are probably retired now, like I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our age has got dangerously close to our IQ, so we retire.
But, well, if you think of anybody, or if you remember any, I don't know if you took photos or kept any records of things that happened, I would love to see a copy of them or anything like that. So if you think of anything, email me or give me a call. And
okay, sure will. I don't recall any photos, but if I do think of anything else, I'll certainly give you a call.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking with you. This is great.
Okay, well, good luck on your finishing your thesis and your degree and all that.
Thank you. I'll need it.
Well, we make our own luck, you know.
I believe that. I do believe that.
It doesn't just happen unless it's bad.
Yeah.
I knew a guy back when I was in graduate school who had luck. I mean, his was all bad. He had all of his data. Most of his data from his research.
Oh, no.
And his briefcase and so forth at Babcock Hall.
Uh-huh.
And they had a fire and everyone burned him up.
Oh, no.
Now, that's what I think of when I think of luck, and it's all bad.
That,
you make for yourself.
That, oh, I sure hope that doesn't happen to me.
Well, now you don't have to worry so much about burning up your briefcases. Worry about it like your computer crashing.
Yeah, that's very true. Different sorts of bad.
Just be sure to back it up.
I've been told that many times, and I'm trying to do it right away. Okay, well, I hope you get out to the mountains this afternoon.
Not this afternoon. I've got some other things I'm going to be doing. But,
okay.
You know, I haven't lived out here in Idaho for all that long after I retired. My wife died and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I got out here to get closer to my children. Right now I'm staying with my daughter and I'm exploring Idaho.
Nice. Sounds nice.
Yeah, there's some pretty mountains up there.
I'd love to see it. I've never been out. So.
It's fairly agricultural, right? Only everything is irrigated because you can't rely on rain.
Nope. Can't do that.
But I've come, you know, banging around in the mountains, some of the desert lands and so forth. I've been chasing down various and sundry ghost towns. But there's a lot of them.
Wow, that would be fun. That must be
mining.
Yeah, mining.
Coal mining,
ghost
mainly
towns.
Places.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Of course, the ages of those ghost towns. You know, things aren't as old here as they are back farther east. We get here. Most of the ghost towns are 1860 through the early 1900s.
This doesn't sound very old at all, does it?
Oh, it doesn't. You know, in South Carolina, that stuff's still in operation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Because it needs to go back into the 1600s.
Yep. It's...
Matter of fact, we spotted one house in Columbia that had been condemned. They were going to tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
And they started tearing it down, cut the siding off, and found logs underneath.
Wow.
And we got a piece of one of the logs and did some tree ring dating on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
and found another tree not too far away that had been cut down. It was quite old. Found the outer rings of the logs from the house, so the inner rings of the house mm-hmm. of the tree that had been cut corresponded, and we managed to date that house in 1755.
Wow. Wow.
And they went back and found a little of the history of it that was significant enough. They did tear the house down piece by piece and moved it out to a state park at the edge of Columbia and put it back up out there, and it's a historical house.
That's a great story. I like that.
But anyway, you know, 1755, that goes a ways further back than places around here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... wasn't old compared to a lot of the things down on the coast, down around Charleston.
Yeah.
There. Well, there's fine houses back in the 1600s.
Yep. Yep. But, it's old. It's old back there. Not compared to Europe, but compared to here.
Yeah, well, those things that are old on the East Coast are pretty, pretty young things compared to Europe. I've traveled around in Italy and in France a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, then they're getting old.
Yep.
Anyway, cool. It's all kind of fun.
It is.
But anyway, I hope all goes well for you.
Thank you so much, and I'll be back in touch.
Okay, great.
Bye, Jerry.
Bye.